The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Woke up this morning, started checking the news. I've been kicking ass so fast that I need new shoes. I've energized the country. Folks are inspired. Taking so many victory laps that I need new tires. And speaking of tires, what do I see on the corner near me? Well, it's a pair of skid marks and a bunch of broken glass. A busted up fender looks like some ass was driving kind of stupid. And then they done wrecked. Then I heard a strange sound and I said, what the heck? It was someone yelling help in a desperate voice. I wanted to drink my coffee, but I really had no choice. So I threw on a tracksuit because it's my job, and I left the house looking like a member of the Russian mob to find the source of the misery, because in my hood, I'm known for doing lots of bad, but also some good. And off in the bushes, what did I find? But a car on its head with a Bastion behind. And a lady in the front, she saw me and said, my kids are in the back, and I can't feel my legs. Other cars gone. Lord, what a sin. Two kids in the back. Thank God all strapped in. Airbags all pop. No panel unsmashed. Damn, this gangster said. That is one bad crash. I pulled them out and laid them all down gently. The lady driver said, it was a Bentley. It came around the corner in the early morning rain and hit us in the back like a runaway train. Then the driver jumped out. On us, he did not check. He sprinted like OJ running through LAX, like those old commercials as he tries to catch a plane or run from the cops or away from the blame for choices that he made and things that he did that ruined many lives, including some kids. What did he look like? I quietly said. She said he was tall and athletic and he ran real fast. It's all she could tell me before she broke down. So this gangster said, I'm going to find this clown. I looked in the dirt and I saw some tracks, size 14 sneakers. How about that? So I followed them footprints off into the woods and I tracked that hit and runner all through my hood. Found clues as I went. I never stopped. Coke spoon and a bong that he must have dropped. Every couple of steps I discovered a trace of something thrown away, ruined or disgraced. Some tainted victory, some blown test. Like Brian Ferry said, you can guess the rest. I tracked him to a coffee shop, and what did I see? A guy on a cell phone taking shots at me. Hiding from his deeds, just like the Fink. Hid under the octagon at Jackson Wink. And the guys in the lab coats came a-calling, and the coaches and the jobbers started muttering and stalling. As a certain somebody with no chance to depart hid under the cage and tried not to fart and peed in a bottle and held his roided breath till the boys from USADA finally left. So I went and sat next to him and said, ass, what you doing? Did you try to escape with this gangster pursuing? Didn't you know in the end the one thing that is true is the fans all love me and the fans all hate you? No matter how many mistakes I make, they give me some slack, they cut me a break, because when it comes to deserting them, they know that I won't. They know I respect them, and they know that you don't. So tell fake reporters whatever you choose against me and the fans, friend, you will always lose. Because wherever we go, wherever we roam, the fans will go with me and you will go alone. So fix the things you broke, don't chat about me, just watch from the sidelines as I win the Grand Prix.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and I'm glad we could all be reunited for another special episode of your welcome. Football season is here. The wait is over. Are you looking for a place to make your online wagers? Then head to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code podcast1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. I had a great weekend. Ozark season 2 dropped on Netflix. It is fantastic. I think Netflix fully made up for the disaster known as Orange is the New Black, which is a complete fail on every possible level, from the story being boring to the casting. They casted the wrong people. It was a disaster. Ozark is fantastic television. So 10 hours of it. 10 one-hour episodes. I'm done. I banged them all out. And I don't regret any time that I gave up from sleeping or other things. It was a must-do on my list. It really was that good of television. I had a phone call yesterday with Michael Bisping. It was on his podcast. I was his guest. But I asked him for some gossip there. I said, hey, Bisping, you know, because he works with Dominic Cruz. And he sees Dominic more than I do. And I said, man, what's going on there? Is Dominic going to fight again? Is Dominic hurt again? Is he looking for somebody? He goes, Chael, it's so funny you asked. He said, Dominic was my guest right before you were on. And I just asked him that. And he said that Dominic was very clear in calling out TJ Dillashaw. And Bisping co-signed it. He said, I like that fight. That's the fight I want to see. I don't disagree with him. I wasn't looking to form an opinion. I was just looking for an update on what Dominic Cruz was doing. So I figured maybe you guys were like me, and I guess he is healed up and back in the gym, and he's looking for that TJ fight. I'm not sure that he won't get it. A lot of that does make some sense, particularly because he beat TJ in the past, particularly because it was a very good fight, particularly because of the round robin going on between TJ and Cody and Dom. But the other side of that coin, and there is another side. The other side of that coin is how many years are these three guys going to fight one another? If we're going on over two. I don't know if you guys understand that, but it's been a very long time. It's been so much fun and time has flown by, but it's been over 2 years of those three guys, and at some point you do want some new parity, and I also think there's some legs to TJ versus Henry. I wasn't looking to weigh in on that. I was just looking to weigh in on the fact that Dominic is back, and he's looking to get busy, and I think that he's kept that pretty quiet, and I don't think that he should. I think Dominic Cruz has a very meaningful place in this sport, a meaningful place in fans' hearts and minds, and they'd like to see him. And even if Dominic is a stubborn son of a bitch, I don't think he would hold out to only fight TJ, but he's crazy enough he might. You know, TJ had a pretty good idea and said, why don't you go fight Marlon? I'm in for that. I thought that was a good idea. I get where Dom's coming from. I get that the guy sitting there with the belt is a guy that he's, you know, it's his last victory in there. But I'm not sure if it's enough. And I can tell you as a fan, I'm not positive that I care. I want to see Dominic back. I wasn't upset when he took on Hiraguchi in his comeback fight when he came off of his first injury. I wasn't upset in the least. I just want to see Dominic back. So even if I'm saying things that helps to sewer what Dominic is trying to do, I'm going to be selfish on this one. I just want to see him fight. And I am glad that he's healed on another note. So I thought I would share that with you guys. And then I called Bisping out. I called Bisping out for this reason. I said, you know what, Bisping? I've actually got one more piece of gossip that I'm going to spread. And he goes, well, what's that? I said, well, it's you. I said, I just saw you from a distance at the Cormier-Stipe fight, and you haven't gained a pound. And it's very uncommon. You know, most fighters, when they retire, gymnasts are guilty of this, wrestlers are guilty of this, anybody where they really had to control their weight and be real disciplined with their exercise and nutrition. But we all end up fat. The fighters go put on some weight. Somebody takes some pictures of them after they haven't been seen for a couple of years. They send them around the internet. They tease them. But it's a very real thing. You know, when you live that life and you've got to make those weigh-ins and you got to sacrifice all those different foods or sodas or whatever it could be that you want to have, you then reward yourself and make up for it. Bisping hasn't gained a pound. My boss at ESPN, who's an avid exercise and workout guy, before we went on to film, he went to the gym that morning. He said, when I got to the gym, Michael Bisping was already in there. And my boss works his ass off, and even he said Michael Bisping was working his ass off. And I can only imagine how hard Bisping had to be working for Glenn to give him that kind of praise, who isn't overly impressed with other people's work ethics when he compares it to his own, I think Bisping's going to fight again. So I told him this. I told him this right to his face, and he said, Chael, you're so wrong. And I believed him. He said, Chael, you're so wrong. I miss it so much. I think about it every day. I would love to get the paycheck. I would love to be paid to be able to do this. I'm still passionate about it, but I am done. And I could just hear it in his tone. I could hear it in his voice. It was different than when other guys say it. It was just different. And I said, okay, all right, fine. But well, what about grappling? You know, grappling is doing so well now. It's catching on. Everybody's jumping in it. It's competitive. It's a little bit less damage. There's winners and losers. You got to be in great shape. I mean, it's a really great thing where grappling is going. A lot of up-and-comers are doing it, but also guys on the other end of their career going back to it. So I asked him about that. And a big organization is named Polaris, which takes place in England, where he's from. I mean, I have to imagine he's had some offers. So I asked him, and he said, yes, you're exactly right. In fact, I had an email today from Polaris asking me if I would do a grappling match. But he said, I'm just not interested. He said, you know, I kind of know how that goes. I'm very good at grappling, but guys that are just specializing, and that's all they're doing, and particularly if they're an up-and-comer. Yeah, I don't know if I could trust him enough. I don't know if I could trust myself enough and my understanding of the rules. And I'm throwing a couple of extra words in than were said, but I'm real close. I'm getting you 95% of the way there. And he said he wasn't going to do that either. So he hadn't gained any weight. I know he's working hard. That's verified and seen. I think he's just living a lifestyle, though. I think he's just formed some really good habits, and he's keeping those habits going, and good for him. But I think that my premise, I really thought it was in his tone. I've heard guys retire before and not mean it. I've heard guys walk the fence. He was pretty definitive. So I'm just sharing with you guys. I'm sharing some gossip, but I thought it was pretty relevant. And then also, I'll share one final piece of my conversation with Bisping. But I told him, I said, hey, he had me on the show because I've been in a little bit of a dust up with John Jones, as you could tell from the poem that opened the show. And he was asking me about that. Hey, we're, you know, what's going on there? So I filled him in that I was minding my own business and I surfing the internets and Jones had taken a shot at me. So I gave him a receipt for it. And but when we were talking about John, I said, you know, Mike, but the fact that he did an interview and mentioned my names and got my feelings all worked up is really subsequent to the fact that John's out doing interviews. John is doing everything that a fighter that has a fight coming up does. John Jones is hard to get an interview with when he has a pay-per-view to promote. So the fact that he's out now and giving interviews, which are clearly not set up through the promotion, I mean, it's some kind of an off-brand interview somewhere, but he's still out doing them, I think is very telling to the conspiracy that I continue to spread, and over time we'll find out if I'm right or not, that John Jones is going to be headlining Madison Square Garden. Whether he does it or not, I can confirm for you that is what's being looked at. It is not cleared yet, but I have a feeling it will be. And I also have a feeling it's going to be against Alexander Gustafsson. Boy, I won't be bullish on that. I will just tell you that Jones and MSG. So when I presented Bisping with this, Bisping goes, man, I hadn't thought about it like that, but you're right. You know, Jones doesn't do a lot of media. He's not great at the media. He doesn't love it. But he is starting to act the way a fighter who knows something the rest of us don't know would be acting. So I guess all I'm doing by presenting that to you is dragging Bisping into this in case I'm wrong and it all blows up in my face. I've now got the count to go along with me that it does appear more so than ever. I think as the weeks go on, some people will think it's less and less and diminishing. And there is a point of no return there, right? There is a tipping point where eventually that show gets so close, somebody has to be named event, and if they can't get it sorted out with Jones and the red tape that he's in, they're going to have to move to somebody else. But for right now, I'm standing by it. I'm standing by it largely just because I do know for sure that is what they are trying to do. I don't know how they're going to get to that conclusion. We will see. We will see very closely what that press release looks like. But I think in the world of PR, you could pull it off pretty easily. I think the fact that John Jones would be fighting again would take the headline over whatever bending of the rules or misinterpretation that the rest of us have on the rules as for why he could be fighting. You know, there is a way around that. And we've seen some guys, and I don't really want to present it as a loophole. I think it's a very good thing when USADA looks at something and gives guys a way out for tainted supplements. And I know that term is very frustrating for you guys to hear because it's the go-to move of cheaters. And we're seeing it more and more, and it's just, you know, you want to, as soon as you hear it, it goes over your head, you brush it off your shoulder. But there is some truth to it. And when you guys do hear guys like Yoel Romero, like Tim Means, like Little Nog, like Anderson Silva, like Junior Dos Santos, when you do hear Josh Barnett, these guys who are cleared on a tainted supplement, I realize that frustrates you, but take it from me. It is very hard to meet that criteria. And even though that term tainted supplement gets thrown out there, it is very, very sophisticated on what USADA does to reach that conclusion. And I think USADA deserves credit because there's not very many organizations anywhere, let alone an outside testing, third-party testing agency, who is willing to admit fault. And though USADA does not have to admit fault when it's a tainted supplement, they're very close to it, and people are hesitant to do that. And I think they deserve credit when they do the investigative work and come to the proper conclusion and then come out and reveal the proper conclusion. What I'm speaking to is I think that the term tainted supplement just does go over your guys' head a lot. To tie this back in with John Jones, if he had a tainted supplement, they would be able, within precedent, to allow him to fight earlier than the two-year ban, which would bring you, which would be the floor, would be the minimum ban for a repeat offender, which would bring you to summer of 2019. I don't know of any other way that they could possibly find a way around it. I just don't know. I will be learning something when and if they do it, and I'm predicting that they will do it. I don't know with what clause they will use. But I will offer to you this. They will have a big problem if they do a tainted supplement clause, only because John also had a hearing where he went, and I'm not against John coming back and fighting, by the way. I have to throw that at you. This is a guy that's been in, I'm a guy that's been in John's shoes, so I just understand some of the nuances of these rules better than anybody else, because I was forced to learn them for the wrong reasons. I want to disclose that. This is not me speaking against John. I expect him to fight on Madison Square Garden, but I also hope that he fights on Madison Square Garden. But to finish my thought aloud, I am curious as to how. You have to then come out with how did you allow that, when we have all very clearly been told a repeat offender sits 2 years minimum and up to 4 years on a maximum. We've been told that in no uncertain terms. We have seen some instances where that hasn't held up, for example, the tainted supplement. So I'm just laying the facts out there. I am not sharing an opinion. I hope my tone does not sound as though I am leaning one way or the other. But I will share this with you. If we were just to look at the body of evidence and the information that we have and our ability to understand it, which we all have to admit, even though I may have a more expert opinion than some, I'm not a lawyer and I haven't read that stuff inside and out. John Jones, though, went to California before he has to deal with USADA. John Jones was sworn in and went under oath, and when he got to California, he was still hanging his hat on the argument of tainted supplement. When he went to California, he brought his evidence forward, which consisted of 12 supplements he was taking. Okay, all of them were tested, laboratory tested, and all of them came back negative for a tainted supplement. So that issue is now settled. So I do not know how they could possibly go back. And I'm only foreshadowing because I haven't seen any other way to do it and get a reduced sentence. I've only seen tainted supplements, same as you guys. So we have to make the assumption, which is never a great way to do things, but we must make the assumption with the evidence we have that he is going to go with this tainted supplement route, that they're going to rule in his favor and rule that he somewhere had a tainted supplement. The problem they are going to be immediately met with is that he already went under oath and checked in every single supplement that he had and checked in the science behind the testing of it, of which said they were not tainted. So if you exclude that argument, the one and only argument that we've ever seen work, which is the reason we're believing that he's going to go with it, if you were to exclude that argument and bring something else in, it will have to be something that we simply have not seen before, which is why I have an inability to predict, state, and explain to you guys. If they're not going to go with the two floor, four ceiling scenario that they have very clearly explained multiple times, and they're going to defer back to a tainted supplement, which under oath testimony with scientific evidence to support it said was not the case, then they have to go to third base. I just don't know what that would be. So we're all going to see something there of some capacity, or we're not. Or the weeks are going to roll by and somebody else is going to come out as headlining that card. which I also think is very exciting because when we look at the co-main event of that card, which is Dustin Poirier versus Nate Diaz, and they are solidified in the co-main event, that tells us that the main event is going to be something very special. And Madison Square Garden, as disgusting as New York is a very coveted arena for reasons that I will never understand, but I will go ahead and accept them. So they usually do something really big and special. And if you don't have John, which is the speculation, if Anderson's date doesn't quite match up with that, if George is not coming back, if Woodley's defending here, if Tyron and Khabib is going to be settled, what are you going to do? And I'm sure there's a really great answer. I just have to know everything. I have to know everything at all times. I can't go on without knowing. And I don't know. I couldn't even guess. I couldn't even guess what they were going to do. And I don't know, even though I threw out Anderson and I think his dates may match up for Madison Square Garden, there was some kind of conversation on that. I mean, Ed Soros led that. Ed Soros led the conversation. But I'm having to go off of memory, but I do believe that Ed said reluctantly, he disagreed with this, but that it was going to be ruled against that Anderson could not fight on Madison Square Garden. Now, Anderson Silva, as much as he is loved and as much as we do enjoy seeing him fight, is also not the tremendous draw they would lead you to believe. I do not know if he's a big enough draw, particularly unless he has the right opponent to be able to trump Diaz and Poirier. And again, that was not sour grapes at Anderson Silva. I'm just saying we already have our bar. That's what I'm speaking to. Yes, you could bring Anderson in on any card and main event it. He hasn't been less than a main event in a meaningful period of time. Don't fact check me on that, guys. Don't bring up the Brunson fight and then tell me where Daniel Cormier versus Anderson sat on the card. I don't want to hear it. You guys get my point. He's a very good draw, and those arenas have sold out regardless of where he was on the card. That isn't my message to you. My message is in the world of trying to do our due diligence and our detective work so we can create some kind of conversation, whether it's accurate or not. We just need evidence to support it. The bar being set at Diaz-Poirier, I think it's very hard to believe that Anderson would be the one that would come in and save the day. We know it's not going to be George. We know it's not going to be Conor. We know it's not going to be Ronda. We know it's not going to be Lesnar. We know it's not going to be Cormier. We know it's not going to be Stipe. We know it's not going to be Mighty Mouse. I mean, we've got all these things that we know it's not going to be. But we don't know what it is going to be, which brings me back, which isn't great evidence, but it still does bring me back to the conclusion of Jon Jones. And I think it's going to be versus Alexander Gustafsson. And I've noticed they're booking up light heavyweights. They're not keeping a whole bunch of them free. The only one really free right now is Gus. And Gus is putting out different stories than his promoter is putting out. One of them's right. There could be miscommunication. There's a number of reasons why they would be putting out alternative facts. I'm just choosing to believe, to support my conspiracy theory and to support my prediction, that it's because they're keeping him on ice and he's going to fight Jon Jones.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at
Football is back, and no one covers football like your friends here at Podcast One Sportsnet. We got you covered on a daily basis with the Dan Patrick Show and the Rich Eisen Show. You got that competitive spirit in you? Get the latest tips and news with RJ Bell's Dream Preview and Ross Tucker's Fantasy Feast Podcast. We also have legendary coach Jim Harbaugh on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, and Revenge of the Jocks with Super Bowl champion Martellus Bennett. Check out all these shows and more each week on PodcastOneSports.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Guys, football season is here. No more waiting. The time has arrived. Are you ready to get in on all the action for college and NFL football? Don't wait any longer. To make your online wagers, head on over to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. When you're there, use the promo code PODCAST1. That's podcast and the number one, and you will receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's right. BetOnline.ag is an exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, and they are our go-to guys for online sports betting. You need someone to get behind? These are the guys. And there are some huge matchups to start the opening weekend of NFL football. Falcons versus Eagles, Texans versus Patriots, Seahawks versus Broncos. Don't get left out of the season. Get over to betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1 to start winning with your online sportsbook experts.
Now back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Let's move on. We got other business here. You know what? Tyron Woodley versus Till. I will tell you right away, I think I'm going to ruin all the fun for you guys, and I think Till is too. I don't think we're going to see any drama around the weigh-ins. I think Till will be the first one on the scale at 9 a.m. on Friday. And I think he will make weight at 170.0 pounds. I know Tyron will make weight. There's not even any speculation there. So I don't think we're going to have any problems. Those guys are also already traveled. Those guys are already in Dallas. I'm going to head out there tomorrow, be doing the podcast for Friday from Dallas. But I think that it's a little bit interesting. I think that it's a little bit interesting because poor Kamaru Usman is just waiting in the wings. Now, he knew that was going to be the likely scenario. I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I'm glad he's there. I hope it continues. But I don't believe we're going to see any drama. And when I speak to the fact that those guys are already there, what I'm referencing on that is fighters do not train after they travel. Just kind of a universal rule, and I don't know where it came from, but I also follow it, is once you get on that airplane and head to the event, your sole focus is now on making weight. And your coaches won't lean on you. Your training partners won't lean on you. Everybody in the industry just kind of knows, look, this is going to be a week of some media. Then at night, before bet, once we're finally free for the day, we'll throw some sweats on. We'll go get a workout, move around a little bit, stretch a little bit. You know, maybe get in the hot tub. Depends where your weight's at. Visit, talk about strategy, calm down, cool out. I'm just saying it's a really easy week. There's no training. If you guys remember, Ken Shamrock split his eye open. Was that strike for? No, that was called Elite XC. It was an Elite XC event. I'm trying to think of who he was supposed to fight. I believe it was Kimbo Slice. Irrelevant to the story, but Ken Shamrock, on the day of the event, split his eye open and was not able to fight. And the reason he took so much slack for that, I know the real story. I'll share it with you some other time. But for public perception, the reason that Ken took so much slack for that is people are saying, hey, what were you doing on the day of the event? Working out. And there was no rule against it, but people were legitimately stumped by this within the industry because it just simply doesn't happen. And I didn't mean to bring Ken and that story into it. I just wanted to bring a story in that you guys may find entertaining to speak to you to the fact that you do just simply not get hurt on fight week. Unless it's some really weird thing. But it just simply doesn't happen. You could rest easy, you could bet your money on it. So I guess what I'm telling you is we're not going to see the drama around the Till Woodley fight prior to the fight. We're going to see that fight. We're not going to see Kamaru Usman in there. We're not going to see an injury. We're not going to see, you know, a Tony Ferguson trip cord or a Kevin Randleman tripping on the pipes. We're just not going to see that. We're going to get to see the match, which I think is good. I'm saying this is good news, and it's going to be for the title because Till is going to make weight, which is also good news. When I look at that fight, there are so many intangibles, and intangibles generally determine the outcome of the fight. The analysts and the fans and the hardcores aren't the best gamblers. It's generally an outlayer that just walks up to the window, likes the odds, throws some money down, then comes home and brags to his friends how he got one right. Because there's so many intangibles. When you look at Stipe Cormier, we all knew Cormier had to take him down and Stipe had to knock him out on their feet. How'd that one go? But we see things like this all the time. And Darren Till is putting out some intangibles that started 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago was the first time Darren Till, I love Darren Till interviews because I believe him. I really believe him. I don't think there's any shtick or gimmick there. I believe him when he says what he wants. I believe him when he says how he's training. I believe him when he says, I'm really struggling to make weight. And as recently as 2 weeks ago, or maybe I should say as far back as 2 weeks ago, but he said, I don't even want to train anymore. I am exhausted and all I want to do is make weight. And then he even cited what he wanted to eat. He said, I want a cheeseburger. He said, I want some white rice. He had his cravings down. I can tell you, I can remember my days of heavy weight cutting going down to 185 pounds, but the weight cut can become so significant, so much of a lifestyle where it's 24/7 and all you are is hungry and all you are is cannibalizing yourself and your coaches are expecting you to train multiple times a day, but you don't have any energy and your attitude's bad on top of that. And at some point when Darren Till said, I don't want to train anymore, what that told me is that he was hurting so bad, he did not have the energy, he did not have the calories within his body to go in and produced the workouts that his coaches wanted. I am not ready to pass a judgment on whether that's good or bad. I will just tell you that 2 weeks is a little bit early for a guy to be sane and feeling that way. 2 weeks, generally when a guy starts feeling that way, and yes, he will have some of those feelings, but when he's really feeling like, man, I can't even go to practice, I cannot do this work, that's when he starts what we call the weight cut. And there's a difference between losing weight, dieting, or cutting weight. And cutting weight is when you start to pull the water. And as big as Darren Till is, and as good as he is, he's still very inexperienced. He's still a very young guy. He's only 25 years old. And it would be my guess, purely a guess, but having been in his shoes and known how I felt and then listened to the things he said, it is my guess that he started cutting weight up to 2 weeks ago. He started reducing his water. I've seen many guys do this. Darren would not be the only one guilty of it. But a seasoned weight cutter would not do that until the weigh-in was 72 hours away. And that would be for a really hard pull. A really seasoned guy would know how to do it 48 hours, and then the best of the best, a Mike Dolce or a Tyler Minton-style guy, would do it in less than 24 hours. So by the things that I was reading about Till and hearing him say it and be able to put myself in his shoes, I think he started the pull up to 2 weeks ago, which is not great news. Not great news. Does it affect the fight? Maybe. Yeah, maybe it does. There's not a whole lot to what fighters say about their opponent having to cut so much weight and therefore, you know, he won't be there. Look, it's a 24-hour weigh-in. I mean, now they've changed it to like a 36-hour weigh-in. Yes, a guy can fully, 100% recoup. Absolutely. You've never heard me speak on this or say so-and-so's cutting weight and that's bad. Never. This is my first time talking about it ever. But it's the first time that I've actually thought, ooh, this could matter. Depleting your body, sucking the water out of your body is not a great thing, but to do it in a very short period of time, for example, 24 hours, then having an equal amount of time, for example, 24 to 36 hours, to rehydrate your body is very, very easy to do. It is very realistic, and it is not a very daunting task. To pull water weight out up to 2 weeks in advance because you're a young guy and you haven't been through it enough times and haven't gotten the right advice can absolutely change you. We do not know for sure this is what Darren Till did. We seem to be having an entire show about speculating. But I am speculating based on evidence. One is personal experience, and two was hearing his words and remember the times in my career. And I am not attempting to come at you or Darren Till supporters or Darren Till himself from some high-handed approach that I know better. That's not my intent. He's the number one contender fighting for a world championship. Let's concede to Darren Till on all things, save one. And even though I am coming at you as now an expert in weight cutting, I can assure you when I was 25 years old, I was not. And I'm just seeing some similarities there, and it can affect your performance. Not the diet. The diet can affect your training. You don't quite have the carbs. You don't quite have the ability to train. That's true, but you can get through it. You can tough it out and get through it. Maybe you got to drag a little bit. Hey, when's the coach not looking? Do a little bit of that, but you can get through it. As hard as it is or a mental challenge, you can get through it. When you don't want to train anymore, that's when you don't have the water. Not the carbs, not the fat, not the food, not the calories. That's when you do not have the water. And that can be a big mistake. You kind of want to trade them on equal levels. If you have 24 hours to recover, then you want to start the weight cut 24 hours before. If you have 30 hours, start at 30 hours before, which is what he is up against. And I believe he might have started it as far back as 2 weeks. And I remember those days of doing it myself, and I can just tell you it's a really hard way to go about it. These days, news travels lightning fast, which is great if you're a sports fan. Between status updates and breaking news notifications, you can always be up to the minute on every team of every game. While this is great for sports, it's the opposite when it comes to buying a car. You go online and instantly you're bombarded with numbers, invoice, list price, dealer price. It's hard to know how to recognize a good price. Well, not anymore. Introducing True Price, only from True Car. It's the only price you need to know because it's exactly what you will pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories. And how do you know if the True Price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And they know how to recognize a good price because your certified dealer is in on it. So they want to set the True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car. to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Oh, my producer Nick told me that he heard that they're going to do Kevin Lee and Ally Aquina. You know, we had discussed that last week. There was like a three-way dance with Lee, Iaquinta, and Gaethje. And anywhere those chips fall, awesome. Great, let's do it. Do it sooner than later. But in conjunction with that, Justin Gaethje came out and had a very funny interview. You know, Gaethje has been funny lately, by the way. I think he deserves a little credit for that. Remember what he said to Paul Felder? Remember that interview after the fight? That was great. Never gave him credit for that, but I'll give him a little bit more. So he is now called out the loser of Conor and Khabib, which I know would normally be very annoying, particularly to somebody like me. I would give you a hard time, but it makes sense. Okay, it's a weird thing to say. It's a very weird thing to call out the loser of a certain fight. It's counterculture. It's not the way this is done. So I kind of liked it, but I also get it. He's not going to get the winner. Justin Gaethje's not going into a world title fight. So it was pretty cool that he understood his lane, that he didn't act as though, you know, one victory righted all the wrongs. And that's a fun fight. Justin Gaethje versus Khabib Nurmagomedov? Hell yes. Justin Gaethje versus Conor McGregor? Hell yes. I don't think he ends up with one of those fights. I think when you have a fight of this magnitude, what generally happens is whoever the winner is goes and figures out what the winner does. But whoever the loser is, a lot of times it takes a significant break. So I don't know that he's likely to get it, but I also don't know that I need to be the skunk at the garden party to say that he's not going to get the fight. I think that we should just enjoy what he's doing here. And even if they go and take a significant break, Gaethje said that he wants a break. I think the fact that he said, I want the loser of that fight, while in most scenarios would really annoy me for multiple reasons, I think it worked. I think it worked. I think it was fun. And, you know, whenever you're going to call out a fight, whenever you're going to do anything where you're looking for a headline and attention, it has to be something different. So when everybody starts falling into the same line and everybody keeps the champion, I want the champion, I want the champion, I want the champion. I want the money fight, I want the money fight, I want the money fight. I want Conor, I want Conor, I want Conor. Whenever you start doing that, it gets very redundant. The first guy to say it, gets the most rope on it. The second guy to say it gets less, and then it just trickles on down to where, man, I don't even need to hear it because it's already been said. So when you're playing in those kind of pools, how do you make yourself different? Well, you've either got to be better. If your whole thing's I'm going to be an interview guy, I'm going to make my career by doing great interviews. Well, there's some competition in that. Not a bad way to go. I get it. I've seen it. A little more pro wrestling than it is fighting, but there's a place for it. I've seen it. But you're going to have to come out and give better interviews than the top interview guys who you personally look up to and identified and decided I'm going to go out and do what they did. Same thing with a crazy outfit. How crazy can you get? I mean, eventually you get to Lady Gaga status and there's just simply no weirder hats that you can buy or purchase or put on your head. So you need a new shtick. And that's where it can be a little bit difficult, which is why I like what Gaethje did, because it's never been done. I have never heard somebody call out before a fight, I want the loser of that fight. I've just never heard of it. And guess where I found this, guys? Guess where I found this little piece, this little gem that I'm sharing with you? On the top of the page. It was at bloodyelbow.com. Number one story. It was the number one story. He got a headline. Gaethje wins. All right. I've had it with you all, but I will look forward to you all being back where I will want more of your company. So please tune in and join us on Friday for another episode of Your Welcome. And until then, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
If you like this show, you need to check out CarCast, the longest-running automotive podcast. CarCast is a twice-weekly automotive show hosted by Adam Carolla, wrestling superstar Bill Goldberg, and Matt the Motorator D'Andrea. It's the only show of its kind that explores all aspects of the automotive space, from the performance aftermarket to new car buying and the future of the automotive industry. The guys answer your questions, offer advice, and feature guests from the automotive industry and celebrity car enthusiasts. Listen to CarCast with Goldberg and Motorator Matt D'Andrea every Wednesday and Adam Carolla with the Motorator every Friday on the Podcast One mobile app or iTunes Podcasts.